But it's great to be able to worship together in song, and we're so pleased that we're able to join you this morning from our home to yours. It's good to see you. My name's Tom, I'm the ministry assistant here at NBC, and this is my good wife,
Becca.
And we're so pleased to be able to share God's word with you today, and I'm looking forward to being able to share some of my thoughts on this topic of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do to help us through our fears and anxieties. I've been reading a new book this week. This is called Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And I was interested to find that in the third chapter of it, there's a great story about our passage today, Psalm 46. I'm not going to spoil why it's there. I'm just going to tell you, you can go away and read it. We might look at it on the podcast in the week. But until then, Becca's going to read to us today from Psalm 46. And then you're going to hear the story of how me and Becca got engaged.
Okay, so the reading today is Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
At the start of this COVID-19 crisis, I heard an amazing talk from a church in America where they used this tagline, "Fear is real, but so is the power of God." Now, I sat with that, I prayed about it, because I thought, okay, this is something that I need to get in my head. And I then sort of left it to one side. And it was only when Tim said that he wanted us to spend some time looking at the Holy Spirit, or the present, as we're calling it, that I realised that these words that have stuck with me for the past couple of months were so important, and that I simply had to share them with you today. Now, one of the most terrifying moments of my life was when I was about to propose to my now wife, Becca. I was a nervous 21-year-old who'd been carrying around a ring in my pocket all day. I had everything planned. We were going to go for a lovely walk, we were going to have a meal looking out over the beach, and then afterwards, I'd hoped to propose to her on that same beach. Or at least, that was the plan. Anyone who's proposed to someone can probably sympathise greatly with my planning, and I'm sure that they can also testify to the way that your nerves build up and up and up as your day continues to go through. So our day began, and I'm probably at about a 2 or a 3 on the fear scale. The walk was ruined by abnormally high winds. It had been beautiful for the whole week, and today it just decided to be a bit windy. So the first part of my plan had been somewhat ruined, but it was okay. We're at about a 4 or a 5, I'd say, on the fear scale now. The meal should have been the most enjoyable meal of my life. It was great food, great drinks, but my anxieties were building up so much that it was quite hard for me to enjoy the amazing fresh seafood that we were having looking out over this beautiful bay. My anxieties were building up so much that my knees had started to shake in anticipation, and it was impossible for me to really enjoy it much at all. I'm up to about a 6 or a 7 now on the scale. And by this point, Becca had already asked me once what was going on, why was I being weird? And then it came to the point when I had plans to propose. We left the meal, it was amazing, don't get me wrong, but I'm at a 9 or a 9.5 on the scale now. I'm probably up above the top of the screen. And I don't remember ever feeling more anxious about anything in my whole life. We set out walking along the beach, and within literal seconds, it had gone from a slightly cool but still sunny evening to being one of the worst storms that I have ever experienced in person in my life. My plan was utterly ruined, and I was now far more scared to try and find cover and shelter from the weather than the ring in my pocket. My best friend joked during his best man's speech that this may well have been a sign from God about our upcoming marriage. But thankfully, I was able to ask her a couple of hours later when we were dry, and nearly 5 years on, we're still going strong. Now, the reason that I share that story with you is to show that we all feel some sort of fear and anxiety in our lives. Right now, there's an overwhelming sense of fear in the world. Some of us aren't feeling it to the same degree as others, but it's with us all. Now, our fears and anxieties are things that absolutely cripple our emotional system. When you think about it, there are so many stressful and anxious situations in our lives. Maybe it was your first day at school. Maybe for parents, it was the first day you dropped off your kids at school. Preparing for your first lot of exams, going through high school is a pretty big stress. Asking that person you really, really like on that first date. Or maybe as you move into adulthood, when you see the petrol gauge hit zero, but you know you're nowhere near a petrol station. Now, all of these things are really stressful events, but some of these things can really cripple you. Parents getting divorced. Fears of losing a loved one, especially at this time. Or maybe not being able to live up to the standards that someone else has set for you. Now, how many of you out there would say that life would be easier without the anxiety of those things in our lives? I can't see you putting your hands up, but I'm assuming that pretty much everyone's hands would be raised right now. How many of you have felt at least one of those things really heavily in your life? Yeah. They're very, very real. And if we're not careful, we can go through these things and forget that although fear is real, so is the power of God. For those of you who are in a relationship with God, or maybe you've been to church before, I'm sure you've heard so many times that God is bigger than your problems, and he is. But I know that it can sometimes sound like someone who says that to you is only saying it because they don't really know what else to say. Or how many of you have heard the line, you know, you've just got to have faith? Like, in the midst of your most difficult situation, you're hurting, you're overwhelmed, you're fearful, and some well-meaning person comes over to you with no self-awareness and says, you know, you just got to have faith. I can remember someone saying that to me a couple of years ago when I was going through a particularly hard time. And honestly, it made me really, really angry. Like, I wanted to punch them in the face levels of angry. I didn't, okay? I didn't punch them in the face. But what does that even mean, to just have faith? In the midst of your fear, you're probably less focused on having faith and probably more focused on whether God even cares about your situation that you're in. As we try to answer these questions, I want you to remember that fear is real, but so is the power of God. In the psalm that we had read to us at the start, Psalm 46, we heard of God's promise to be present among us, his people, that God is a place of refuge, that God is strength for his people, that God is our helper, not from a distance, but a very present help. God is promising that he will be with us. And what does that mean for us? What if God is a real refuge, strength, and a help to us, his people? Then I guess there's no logical reason for us to fear, even through the biggest crises that come along. But it's all well and good saying that. I'm sure most of us know that God cares for us so deeply, more than we can ever imagine. And he's telling us here that he is going to be an ever-present help to us. But how do we know that this strength will actually be there for us in our time of need? And for that, we need to turn to the New Testament, to some words of Jesus from John chapter 14. Now here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling them that he's going to have to go away for a while, but that he doesn't want them to fear. Now, for context, Jesus has done some pretty crazy things in front of their eyes. He's healed the sick, he's made blind people see, he's made deaf people hear. And the disciples have gotten used to life with Jesus. And now he's saying that he's just going to leave them. You can almost feel and see the panic setting into their situation, that when they realise that they're going to have to do this on their own. Fears, doubts, troubles, anxieties all start to come back to the disciples. Now, this fear that they're currently feeling is probably that someone they love so deeply is leaving them. And I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. I'm sure many of us have had someone in our lives that we've loved, that we've cared for, that made us better people, that have either left us or we fear we're going to lose them soon. That's a real fear. But Jesus goes on to say to them, to comfort them, he says that there's going to be something that is just as good as having him there with them, that he's going to leave. In the New Living Translation, John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus said to them that he's leaving behind a peace of mind and heart that the world cannot give. And then he says to them, don't be troubled or afraid. Now, we know that that's easier said than done. But wouldn't it be nice if we could feel a bit of peace right now? Wouldn't it be great if we could feel that ever-present help in times of need? Instead of fearing every moment or thinking the worst of something or giving in to the anxieties of life, wouldn't it be great to feel the peace, to know that we have peace? As Tim shared with us last week, the story of Ascension shows us that we can absolutely have this peace in our lives. And if you missed out on last week's talk, then don't worry, you can go back at the end of this morning's service and find it on YouTube. But the short of it is that Jesus left this present for us called the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said he was leaving us with a gift, he really meant it. God left this spirit version of himself for us to have. It's fully God, all the power, all the grace, all the love, all of God. And when you begin a relationship with God, his Holy Spirit becomes a part of you. I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you would love to know more, because you're desperate for this peace in your life right now. So to answer the question from earlier, does God care about the fear that I'm feeling? The answer is absolutely yes. So much so that he allows his power to live within you. God loves you and cares about you so much that instead of backing off and letting you figure it out on your own, he allows you to embrace his power in all situations. He knows that there's a spiritual enemy who would love to cripple us with fear and anxiety. And you know what God does? He invites us to tag him into the fight alongside us. So what do we do when we're trying to depend on God, but it just doesn't feel like it's working at all? When we know that we're supposed to trust in his power, but we can't feel it. Jesus' disciples may have been feeling like that when he said he was leaving. They knew what he was capable of, but they were beginning to become scared of what Jesus said, that he was going to leave them. A few verses later, in John chapter 16, part of the same conversation, Jesus responds to their fears by saying this, chapter 16, verse 22. "So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy." Jesus was acknowledging that they would be sad, that they would be scared, that they would be worried, but that it wouldn't last. We know that what we're going through right now, this pandemic, won't last forever, or at least it won't grip us in fear like it currently does. But Jesus is promising that through it all, there is a joy that we need to take hold of. I'm sure, though, some of you right now maybe feel like he's not holding up to his word. For some of you, it's been a horrible couple of months. And maybe you're waiting on this joy that we need to take hold of, and you've been trying to find it, but you're just feeling like God's not there. I need you to know this morning that his power is within you. He left you the power that it takes to move through what you're dealing with, and in a relationship with God, you have unlimited power to fight. You have unlimited peace to rest in. You have unlimited grace to live in. He is with you always and forever. Now, one of the many things that I love about Jesus is that he says it as it is, with truth. But as he says it, you often can't help but feel like everything is under control. His disciples are still trying to wrap their heads around what life will look like without Jesus. They're probably trying to come up with a plan for how to navigate through all of these difficult things that they're thinking about. You know, Jesus had been their way through these things before. But Jesus can sense their anxiety and their confusion, and he decides to respond to that in a really powerful way. Verse 33 of John 16. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Earlier I said that God is bigger than our situations, and he is. But not only is he bigger, he's been through it all. He's seen it, he's felt it, and he has conquered it. His miracles show us that, Easter shows us that, the resurrection shows us that, the encounters post-resurrection show us that. He has overcome anything that this life can throw at us, and he's offering to help us overcome it as well. I hope that we'll consider letting him battle alongside us. Jesus didn't say that we wouldn't feel anxiety. He never said that we wouldn't be fearful. He never promised that there wouldn't be any sorrow. However, he did say that he'd be with us through everything that we go through. I was beautifully reminded by Ash a couple of weeks ago as he joined us on Zoom for our morning service of one of the most important verses in the Bible. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Fear is real, anxiety is real, doubt is real, but so is the power of God. These are words of hope and promise of connection for us always, but particularly when we feel separate. Fear is real, but so is the power of God. As we finish this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to enter into the dwelling place of God through prayer. Now, prayer reminds us that this physical absence does not mean abandonment. He is always there, ready to listen and respond to us. And as we pray together, my hope is that this message today has spoken to you. Some of you are so consumed by the fear that you feel like you're always losing the battle. You feel like you can maybe never escape the doubt, or maybe you felt like God has never really cared about your fears. Perhaps you've been shielding for the past few months, or maybe this morning you've just simply realised that you want that power within you. God cares about you so much that he did the unthinkable. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Jesus lived a perfect life on this earth, the perfect life that you and I could never live. God then sacrificed his own son who'd lived this perfect life, dying on a cross, but then brought back to life to show that sin that once separated us from God no longer holds that power over us. Because of what Jesus did, anyone who puts their trust in him will be completely transformed and can claim his power, this present, the Holy Spirit, to be with them in their lives. They'll be made new. The old lives will be gone and you'll begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, the beauty of this online space is that I have absolutely no idea if there's anybody watching this morning who, for them, they might be making this decision to follow Jesus for the first time today. But I would hate for you to miss out on the opportunity of doing that this morning. So if you're ready to turn from doubt and fear in your life, and you know that you're ready to put your trust in Jesus, or you simply want to reaffirm your faith in him today, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, and you want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up again, then why don't you echo this prayer after me this morning? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Come, Holy Spirit, to be an ever-present help with me forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's such a simple prayer, but it's one that will change your life forever. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us up again this morning. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, then do please get in touch with us. You can email me or Tim through tim@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, or you can contact us through our website. There's loads of ways for you to get in touch with us, and we'd love to help you on your journey of faith. For people who've been Christians all their lives, many of us wake up in the morning and the first thing that we ask God to do is to fill us up with his Holy Spirit. We pray the simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. And I'd invite everyone this morning who's here with us to ask God to fill them up each and every day, to be able to face all that life throws at them, knowing that God has got their back.